Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, our artistic edition of Work From Your Happy Place. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Jessica Grovet. Jessica Grovet most recently appeared on Broadway in A Little Night Music with Bernadette Peters and Elaine Stritch. Her other Broadway credits include Sunday in the Park with George, Thoroughly Modern Millie, and Les Miserables. At the age of 15, she appeared as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz with Eartha Kitt and Mickey Rooney. Jessica founded the Jessica Grovet Fund for the Performing Arts in her hometown of Columbus, Ohio, and is married to fellow Broadway actor Dan Cooney, who is the founding artistic director for the Encore Musical Theater Company in Dexter, Michigan. There, she is the program director for the new Moss Conservatory, a training program for students interested in pursuing a career in musical theater. She also teaches voice and holds certifications from both Berklee College of Music and Shenandoah University. It is my pleasure to welcome Jessica to our show today.
Thank you, Belinda.
Hello.
Hello.
So happy to have this time with you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So Jessica, just fill in the gaps from this awesome bio and tell us more about your journey. People love with our artistic guests just to learn about like how did it all begin and how you became on Broadway, and just give us a little bit of that journey.
Okay. Well, I started doing theater with my family when I was 3 years old. I think I was singing before I could speak. And my parents really had a great appreciation for theater and liked to perform as well. So we did community theater productions in Columbus, Ohio. My first musical was The Music Man. And I was just a little three-year-old in the chorus, and my dad was in the barbershop quartet, and my mom was a pick a little, talk a little lady, and my brother was a naughty pool boy, was getting in trouble for playing too much pool, and then I just kept doing a lot of community theater there, and then when I was 11, I went to New York and did an opera at Manhattan School of Music, which was called The Turn of the Screw. And I played Flora, who was the young girl. So they needed real children to play the children in the graduate program's opera. And then when I was 12 and 13, I was on a national tour of Oliver. And this was a non-equity tour. So we were bus and truck one-nighters mostly, sleeping on the bus, doing school on the bus, sleeping in really kind of bad motels. And then when I was 14, went to New York to audition for The Wizard of Oz. My mom and I went and I got it, which was crazy. So that's sort of how that all came about. It wasn't just like an overnight success, but lots and lots of little experiences growing up and just really discovering that I had a love for performing and being in the spotlight.
That is so awesome. So your whole family is in theater. That had to be super special.
It is. You know, like I don't know much about football or hockey or anything like that, but definitely know a lot about theater and opera and, you know, that kind of culture. So and I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. So, you know, it's Ohio State Buckeyes. And my grandpa was a vet at the university and the dean of the veterinary medicine there. And so, you know, people are into sports in Ohio. But
yep.
Our family was into musical theater.
Oh, how fun. So tell us, gosh, what was that like? Or did you even have appreciation of it at the time when you were cast as Dorothy? What was that? What did you feel? Can you remember? And just like, what was that like for just a young person to get such an iconic role?
I mean, insane, truly. It was not lost on me the gravity of this, you know, experience. I as soon as I knew about Broadway, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And so when I booked that show in New York City at Madison Square Garden, and they unveiled me at the Rainbow Room, right there in Rockefeller Center. And it was like this big thing where I walked down a staircase and then sang Over the Rainbow, and just press was there. And I really felt like I made it. And just, I remember walking down that staircase and just welling up going, am I going to be able to sing? Because it was such an emotional experience.
Right.
My parents were there. My agent was there. It was just crazy.
So, you know, it's interesting because at that moment, and I'm sure you did because you felt like I've made it, but then you have to continue to move on and you have to continue to like go to the next gig. And so, gosh, that had to be also pretty amazing as well, or a rude awakening, I guess, is another way to say it.
Yeah, you know, and I did that show for almost 3 years of my life. So people really in New York knew me as Dorothy in the theater world. And so it was sort of something that I had to break out of, in a sense. I spent my senior year in Las Vegas doing a show called Notre Dame de Paris, which was an English language premiere of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which had been done in Paris. So I spent my senior year of high school doing a show called Notre Dame de Paris in Las Vegas. And then after that, I moved to New York. I'd planned on going to college, but because I was doing this show, I had deferred my entrance to NYU for a year. And in that time, I booked Les Miserables.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. I was 19 years old and doing my first real Broadway show. In my favorite musical of all time. So that was pretty darn special.
And you were Eponine in that, weren't you?
I was Eponine. And your daughter, Olivia, she's played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and Eponine in Les Mis. So, you know, maybe we're on the same track here.
I know. It's just, it has been a series of coincidences, but I know she just thinks so highly of you. Aww. And you've been such a great mentor to her, especially through just working at the Encore and as well as in the Moss Conservatory. So it's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. She is super talented. And I would not be surprised if she goes way beyond where I went. So I can't wait to watch her career.
Oh, that's sweet. So you spent this time on Broadway, and then you then really started a family.
Yeah.
So that's just a really big sort of difference in what you're working with and what you're doing. So talk about how, I want to hear about how both of those opportunities, I guess, or time in your life, time in this journey, has affected your lifestyle. So what was it like in Broadway in that lifestyle? And then now you're a mom of two beautiful children.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about both of those.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, I was late teens, early 20s, working on Broadway, just kind of living the life. And, you know, after your Broadway shows, there are several hangout places where people go to kind of wind down after their shows or go with their guests who came to see the show. Marlo was one of those places back in the day. And that's actually where I met my husband, Dan, for the first time. We met after shows just at this hangout where everybody would go. And we would have these hootenannies that would go in. So hootenannies are like a music circle, right? People would bring their guitars or harmonicas, or some people brought their violins. Others, just like me, brought our voices because I don't play any portable instruments. And we would sit in a circle either in the bar or out in the backyard of the bar and just sing songs, jam, just big jam sessions until the wee hours of the morning, 2, 3, 4, closing down the bars, and then you'd sleep in until, you know, 11 or 12 the next day. Now, you know, you get a little older and wiser and you realize, well, I can't really stay up all night and then and then perform well. So you decide to, you know, get married, settle down a little bit, get to bed by midnight or one, only so you sleep till 10.
Yeah. So both of you are married. So you got married and you're both still working Broadway.
Yes.
So yeah. What was that like, you know, being married to another Broadway star and you're both in separate shows and like finding that time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess our time was during the day for the most part. We would hang out and take the dog to the dog park and go have brunch. There's lots of brunch in New York. You can have brunch any day of the week. And then we'd, you know, go off to our shows. And I'm not sure that we were ever necessarily working at the same time. We might have been, actually. I think when he was doing 9 to 5, I was doing Sunday in the Park with George, maybe.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we'd meet up after our shows or meet each other at our stage doors and go hang out with friends. And it was, you know, it was a great young lifestyle before kids.
I bet. So let's talk about one of your greatest accomplishments. What is something that you feel like, wow, that was just amazing?
Gosh, I mean, it probably sounds cliche, but I'd say having my children and surviving that and then, you know, still working while either pregnant or I was pregnant with Gavin when I was playing Sarah Brown in Guys and Dolls. And he's 9 and a half now.
Wow.
Yeah. And then brought him on the road with me for a couple of productions of Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. And then our daughter, Lolly, I was pregnant with her when I was here in Michigan doing Into the Woods at the Encore. And then she was 3 months old when I was doing My Fair Lady here as well. So, yeah, we've just kind of kept it going, but on a slightly smaller scale. But, yeah, it's – I will say being a working mom is exhausting and hard, but it's also really gratifying because I like being able to show them that, you know, you can do both and you can do anything and it takes a village, of course.
It does.
Yeah, can't do it on your own. But yeah, or when people do, it's pretty phenomenal.
Well, I think that that's what sometimes people look at that life as being super glamorous. But in reality, you have the same challenges that every other mom has.
Oh, yeah. I mean, truly, like my friends who are still working on Broadway, well, not right now because of the pandemic, but who have small children, I don't know how they do it. They miss bedtime most nights, you know, they miss a lot of after school things, weekends, you know, you're tied up at your matinees. So, but I think Broadway's getting a little friendlier to the family structure. And I remember when Gavin was little, he would go backstage at Mamma Mia when Dan was doing Mamma Mia. And I think it's becoming a bit more family oriented. Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's the good news about it. But I can't imagine, you know, being Kelly O'Hara and leaving my show at Lincoln Center, traveling by car 2 hours to her house in Connecticut or wherever she lives, and then getting up with the kids for school the next morning. I just don't know how you do it.
Wow, I know.
It's gonna be exhausting.
It has to be. But you do what you want to do, right?
That's right.
To make it work.
It's your passion.
Here's what I'd really love to know, and I know like a lot of our listeners would like to know as well. So there's the artistic side of it, but there's the business side of it.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think people don't think about as much. And I think for our business entrepreneurs, it's really important for them to have that creative side as well. And sometimes they miss that. So talk to us about the business side of it. What was that like for you navigating that? I'm sure you had people that assisted you with that. But what's that part about it, like the business aspect of it?
So I think that's the part that I struggled with the most because I'm not like somebody who really likes to get out there and get in front of people and be like, hey, I want to meet you and, you know, take a pizza to my agents or, you know, they even say like you should take pizza to your agents at lunch sometime or call them and say, hey, let's go out to lunch. And I was just never comfortable doing that. And they're like, pop into the office whenever you're around. And I just like always felt weird doing that. But yeah, that's, I mean, that was always the hardest thing for me to navigate because I'm not outgoing in that way. you know, like, come see the show and, like, let's go out afterwards or let's, you know, grab lunch. Great. But to initiate it was never my forte. And I wish that's something I would have been better at. But there are people who have publicists and as well as their agents. And those publicists get them into every opening night and they get them on that red carpet for photographs. You know, even if they've just been like in one Broadway show in a minor role, if you hire a publicist, you are out there doing that every night. It wasn't for me. Like, the reason I wanted to do theater was because I love performing. Mm-hmm. I love being on stage. It lights me up. It ignites that fire. That other stuff, the red carpet stuff, that doesn't do it for me. So, wow. Yeah. So I'm sure, like, your business entrepreneurs who lack the creative aspect kind of can relate in a way. But it's,
I think it's interesting that no matter what you've just described, what I think everybody has, whether it's from the artistic side or the business entrepreneurial side, there's fear. Mm-hmm. And we all have those fears that we have to push through or get past.
Yes.
And everybody thinks because you're on stage and you're performing that that automatically makes you super outgoing and easy to just meet people and do all those things you should be doing. And it really isn't necessarily true.
Right.
That's yeah. Exactly. And that is the hardest thing for, I think, people to understand on both sides. And in reality, you know, it's always about pushing through our fears.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. And I think, you know, I think for some people, like if you're a big Broadway star, like you're thrust into it whether you want to or not. You don't actually have to pursue the business side of it necessarily, right? If you fell into a role and you won a Tony Award, well, you get a press agent. You know, it's all happening for you.
Right.
If you want to try to create that career without that Tony Award, you know, how do you do that? But yes, pushing through that fear would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about one of your favorite productions you've ever been in.
Oh gosh. I think my most favorite production I've ever been in was Into the Woods here at the Encore Theater. Now, I got to play the witch, and the like, it's not a role that I would necessarily have gotten to do anywhere else. But because of nepotism, my husband being the artistic director and the director of the theater of that production, you know, he was like, you could play the witch. I'm like, I can? He's like, yeah, you'd be great. And so he saw something in me that I didn't necessarily think I could do. But once I got into that, Belinda, I had so much fun because it was so out of my comfort zone that I got to just kind of go crazy and truly just explore. And yeah, it was just so much fun.
Oh, well, yeah. I saw that production several times, actually, and you were amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah, I would have never even thought that in a million years because you just killed that role and you were amazing.
Thank you. I loved it. And, you know, to have that little lolly in my belly while it was happening was pretty special too.
Aww. So let's talk about a memorable experience in your career, like one of those iconic memories that you're still holding with you that you just think that was really special.
I would say the most memorable experience would have to be The Wizard of Oz because it was those three very formative years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was 15, 16, 17. My mom and I were on the road together. It was really special time for us. We grew very, very close in that time. I couldn't have gotten along without her. She truly, like, kept it all together for me so that all I had to do was get onto that stage and, you know, give it my all. And then the group of people, everybody was super supportive and loving. It was truly like a family, and we got to tour the country and Canada. We went to Canada as well, and it was just really a great way to see the world at a young age and get quite an education in many different realms.
So you worked with Mickey Rooney then?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, well, there is that. I did work with Mickey Rooney and Eartha Kitt.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And, you know, I learned a lot from them as well. I've been very fortunate in my career to have worked with Mickey Rooney, Eartha Kitt, Julie Andrews. She directed me in a tour of The Boyfriend, which is in the same role that she played in 1957 or something when she was 17 years old. So Tony Walton, her ex-husband, who designed the set for that production of The Boyfriend, actually came to Dexter, Michigan and directed and designed My Fair Lady, which I got to do as well. I played Eliza in that. And he's going to be coming back to do Guys and Dolls, in which I get to play Adelaide, another role that I probably would never get to do anywhere else. But I get to do it here, and it's so exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. So that was what was really happening, right, as the pandemic was happening. Literally, Tony was here.
Yes.
And rehearsals had already begun.
We were a week into rehearsals, just finished our first read sing through. We had a week of music rehearsals, and Sunday we're going to do the big read through sing through, and then
lockdown.
The decision had to be made. Yeah, this isn't going to go forward.
Ugh, that had to be just painful.
It was horrible. And then Tony and his beautiful wife Jen were stuck with us for 3 months after that because we're like, you can't go back to New York. It's right. Really bad there.
It was at that time really bad. So that was awesome that they had a place to quarantine with you guys.
And we had so much fun. We had lots and lots of wonderful conversations. Tony wrote some amazing poems, and the kids just loved having them around. They're like third grandparents to them, I should say. And it's, you know, those are special times, like the silver lining in this COVID stuff, to be able to get to spend quality time with people you care about is really special.
So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, for me, working from my happy place is being well-rested and well-hydrated so that I can be nice and focused, because that's when I'm well-rested and well-hydrated and well-fed, I should say, too, that's when I can really plug in and be truly present and the best that I can be. So I love when I'm teaching voice lessons and we're discovering things together. We're making these discoveries like, oh, no, so when you do this, it makes this sound. And when you make this vowel, it makes this sound. Let's do it together. Oh, that is that sound. Like, right? So like, and they hear it and they feel it. And they're like, oh, my gosh, that was so easy. Those moments are my true happy place. And then also like those moments of true inspiration on stage where you're just really, really in it. When you've had the preparation, the ability to be totally prepared so that you can just soar and have fun, because that's the only way that theater is truly worth it, if you're having fun.
So your lifestyle has changed quite a bit from your days on Broadway.
Yeah.
And so you're living here in Dexter. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about a day in the life of Jessica here.
Oh, goodness. Well, I guess it's a little different now because of COVID, but get up 7 o'clock, take the kids to school. We actually transferred them to a private school to help out with the focus for our son. It was hard times, like doing this online schooling. Mm-hmm. It was challenging for him. It was definitely challenging for me. You know, we get along really well, but we are certainly butting heads over the schooling. So I get them to school, then might run to the grocery store, come home, and then try to just get some stuff done. And for the most part, you know, I'm teaching maybe 12 lessons a week at this point.
Okay.
But mostly on Wednesdays, because that's the days that most of my students have asynchronous learning. So I just kind of cram them all into mostly one day, or then I've got spatterings here and there. And then, I have to leave at 2:30 to go pick them up. And the day is short, you know, it doesn't, yep. it's I thought I would have so much more time when they went back to school, and it's just more running around. So, but everybody's happier.
Absolutely. So the Moss Conservatory, tell us a little bit about that. That's been a big new project for you.
Yeah. So I am the program director for the Moss Conservatory at the Encore. And it was started by Matt Engelbert, who runs the foundation, the Moss Foundation. Mm-hmm. And that foundation, led by Matt, has been very supportive of the theater as well, like the renovations of the new theater, as well as wanting to bring more education to our programming. And something that he was passionate about was training high schoolers who are super interested in pursuing a career in musical theater or going to school for musical theater and then pursuing a career in musical theater. And so he approached Dan and me a while back, before we'd even moved to Michigan full time, to say, what's it going to take to get you here? I want to do this. And Encore needs you there. And so we're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's start this conservatory. So we started off with just a 3-day summer intensive, which your daughter Olivia was a part of. And that was not this past summer, but the summer before. Mm-hmm. And then we had a year long program where we would meet once a month on Saturdays, as well as we had some special master classes. So we're basically training high school students to be better performers. And it's also a wonderful community for them. Mm-hmm. They're kids from all over, mostly Southeast Michigan, who all have a similar interest, and they all get along great. They're wonderful kids, and we're losing a few this year to college. And we lost Olivia to her boarding school. So yeah, it's been really, truly rewarding to watch these kids get into great schools and to know that we've been a part of that.
I know it's really great for her. It's a community of kids, too, that are like-minded.
Yes.
And they're just different, you know, theater kids, and they're just a different group, and they have each other. It's like the band kids, you know?
Yeah, true.
So I was a band kid, and you just had this group of people that you just absolutely loved and adored, and you all thought alike and just had fun. It was just a big fun. And so I'm thankful that she has a group of really good core friends that are like-minded in that way.
Yeah, I think it's really special, especially at that age. You know, high school can be pretty tough, and you're going through a lot of changes, and especially with COVID. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I think it's been really great for our kids and our student kids, not our actual children.
Right.
It's confusing. But, yeah, it's great.
So what advice would you give to anyone that, so I want two pieces of advice.
Okay.
So one, I would like you to give a piece of advice to any moms out there.
Oh, okay.
That have a budding star on their hands, and what's the best action for them to take if they see this in their child.
Okay. So as far as stage moms, I mean, I think being supportive is huge, but also being realistic, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants their, well, maybe not everybody wants their kid to be a star, but everybody wants their kid to have wonderful experiences. And, you know, sometimes kids bud later, right? Or they bud early and they blossom later. Right. So I think the thing to truly do is to hone those skills, right? Get them into voice lessons but they have to want it, right?
Yes.
You don't want to push them into it. Say, hey, would you be interested in taking some voice lessons? And if your kid's like, yes, I want to, then by all means, get them some voice lessons. Dance classes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then get them involved in, like, you know, just community theater, local theater, and just feel it out. See if they like it. It's late nights, you know? Then they're tired for school the next day.
It is so true.
Yeah, you know. So, and I feel like you've totally done it right, Belinda. I mean, you're a mom of a budding star, rising star. What's your thought on that?
My thought is to be supportive, mm-hmm. of course. And I wish I would have knew more about how important the role of dance was.
Yeah.
I didn't. No one really made me privy to that. And yeah. I didn't know enough to, say, research that or look into it. And I remember when she had her first audition for an agent in New York, that was the one thing they said she lacked was the skills in dance. Like, yeah. she needed to go back home and work on that. And so I wish I would have known that earlier. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece of it. And the other, though, is that I think what I'm so appreciative of, and I hope that I had some role in that, but Olivia is extremely humble. Mm-hmm. She's super supportive of another child getting a role versus her getting a role. She's been on probably, I don't even know how many auditions for commercials, and it never phases her one bit. She goes, she auditions, she doesn't get it. Move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been her big iconic roles that she wants super bad. And, of course, there's been some tears
of course.
For that along yeah. the way. I'm not going to lie. But she picks herself up pretty quickly. But, I mean, she's got some tough skin around it. And I think that that is important for the parent not to coddle the child in, you should have gotten that role. You, yeah. oh my gosh, you would have been better in that.
Right.
Is because they're not like that. They're like, oh, this person is perfect for it, actually. Mm-hmm. And in that is for me being a mom, is I've had to just be very realistic with her. And I'm very grateful because she's just a super humble
she is.
Child. She's sweet.
She's
in
very sweet.
In addition to being talented, she's sweet. So that's my advice.
Yeah.
For parents.
That's wonderful advice. And to just emphasize the journey of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's not about getting the part. Like, it's the experience. So you go to that audition and yes. you do the best you can. And it was a great experience. And that's what my mom always said. Just go have fun. Just it's do it for the experience of it.
Right.
Every audition is going to bring you closer to, you know, getting it right. And also, if you don't get something, it's not necessarily because you didn't do well.
Exactly.
It's like, it's because of so many things. How you right. look, how tall you are. Mm-hmm. Oh, that girl was just a little bit shorter. She looked a little bit younger. Or that girl was really, really, you know, she had dark hair and dark eyes. And the mom has dark hair and dark eyes in this piece. So we went with
that
other girl.
Right.
Right. So you can't take it personally.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that that's... So what advice would you give to someone who's a little more mature? Not a young... Or not to the mom, but to the individual. What advice would you give to them wanting to pursue a career?
I would say preparation is key. Right? So the more familiar you are with your material, the more prepped you are on that material, whether they've given it to you or they've said, hey, we want you to bring in 3 songs from your music book, right, that you have compiled. We want them to be contrasting. And then if they say to you in the room, oh, no, we don't want to hear that one. Do you have anything else? That you have a good solid book of songs that you know, backwards and forwards, and that you can act well, sing well, and, you know, that is so important to be prepared. And then if you get scenes, they're called sides in the business. If you get sides the day before, you work on them until you know them. And even if they say you can hold the paper, you want to be as memorized as possible mm-hmm. because you'll be more relaxed. And I think, you know, I got a little cocky maybe in my 20s and was sort of like, oh, I don't really need to work on it. I'll just whip it out, you mm-hmm. know? And it doesn't work.
Right.
I can tell you from experience. You get more nervous because you're like, oh, wait, I didn't prepare. And I'm going in there like trying to go over the words in my head. And, you know, it's just not the way to be. You got to prepare and, you know, take those classes.
Take those classes.
Yeah, you got it. And, you know, unfortunately, it can be quite expensive.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Training for a career in musical theater. You bet hockey's expensive too.
It sure is.
You know, so you got to pick and choose. And if it's something that you want and you can afford it or you can get some help paying for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, apply for a grant. I mean, that's why I have this fund in my hometown. It's for students in my hometown who want to pursue a career or pursue something in the arts, mm-hmm. and they maybe can't afford to do it. And so they can go to the fund and ask for a grant. And, you know, the teachers can ask for it for them as well. So where there is a will, there is a way.
I believe that with everything. Mm-hmm. With I've seen kids that do not come from a background of means, and they have gone on to just do amazing, incredible things. And I really do think it is the will. I will say this, because we're sitting here talking about it, but that is the biggest piece of advice that Olivia got from you.
Oh.
Was filling out her book. Mm-hmm. And she came home, it was from maybe one of the days at the Moss Conservatory from that 3-day intensive, and she already had started one, but wasn't maybe as purposeful in it as she could be. She was always picking a song for an audition, and then she just started filling her book in, working on all of those songs, and then having songs ready for whatever audition might come along. And that was a game changer.
It is a game changer. Truly. And, you know, it took me taking a class in New York in my early 20s to really get my book together, because Jim Carnahan, who is the casting director for Roundabout and some other theaters as well, I walked into the audition and Jim Carnahan said to me, "We're not going to hear How Are Things in Glacamora again, are we?" And that's when I knew, okay, it's time to start like changing up my book. I got to get into class. I need some help. Because, you know, my voice teacher had always chosen songs for me. Yep. And that's something that I'm trying to get my students in, you know, my private voice students to do as well, to take some ownership over the material. So you come in with a song, you choose something, right? Choose something that speaks to you. I can give you a list of songs, but it might not be something that, you know, you have to like the song.
Right.
So I can give you some suggestions and you can go listen to them, but dive into YouTube. Like, it's amazing the resources kids have now. We didn't have that
when I was
19 or 18 or 7. We didn't have it. Like, you had to go to the library and photocopy things out of the Lincoln Center. Like, the scores. Or, like, call a musical director. Hey, do you have that, you know,
bootleg? You were calling around.
Yeah.
You were calling around on the phone. Hey.
Yeah,
do you have the music?
And then
they fax
it to you, and it'd be all garbled.
That's exactly right. All right. This has been an incredible interview. I've enjoyed this time so much with you.
Thank you, Belinda.
So let's talk about, what are some new and exciting things that you're working on right now? I know we're still in the sort of throes of a pandemic, on hopefully on our way out of this very, very soon. But what are some new and exciting things going on in your life right now?
Well, I would say the most exciting thing is the development of our new Encore Theater. So we're here in Dexter, Michigan, and we were in one space for 12 years, which was kind of like a little garage. And when part of why Dan and I moved to Michigan full time was so that we could take this little theater and grow it to be a premier regional theater house. And it's happening.
Ah.
We bought this building that was the original schoolhouse in town. It's gutted. We got the framing up, the drywall's going in this week. I mean, it is so exciting. We're hoping to be able to open the doors this summer, you know, COVID pending and renovations pending, but it's looking great. And Dan's been working so hard, and I've been supporting so hard, and picking up little jobs here and there, helping mm-hmm. post to social media for them. And it's quite an exciting time. And, you know, I don't know how we're doing this during a pandemic, but we opened the first theater in 2008. So
in the middle of a recession.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, where there's a little bit of adversity, kind of makes you push a little
harder.
It
does make you push harder.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. For any of our listeners out there that don't know where Dexter, Michigan is, it's just outside of Ann Arbor. So
yes, super cool area.
Super cool area. And we're so excited for all the things that are happening at the Encore. It's been real joy to be just a part of that whole experience. You know, Olivia being a part of it, that's when we first got involved. It's been almost 10 years now, which is hard to believe. Our girl started there when she was 8 and she's turning 17. So that seems impossible. But it's been fun to watch that journey and now to actually have this space. And I know you guys are currently looking for donations and any support for the arts.
Yes.
And you can go to the website, which is
www.theencoretheaterwithanre.org.
That's
dot com.
No, I think it's dot org.
Dot org.
I was gonna say dot org, and then I'm like, no, maybe I've got it wrong.
Well, if you Google the Encore Theater, Dexter, Michigan,
you'll find it.
It'll be the first thing that pops up. But yeah, we have a capital campaign going on, very cleverly named Our Next Stage Capital Campaign.
Ooh, fun. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for being with us today. It has been an absolute pleasure. It's been fun.
Yeah.
And I know that our listeners are absolutely going to love it. And to all of our listeners out there, thanks so much for joining us today on Work From Your Happy Place. Don't forget to subscribe. We hit that button. We love to have you listen to all our exciting interviews that we have. Mondays are our business entrepreneurs. Thursdays are artistic entrepreneurs. And leave us a review. I know that Jessica will love it as well as I will love it too. And the best form of appreciation that you can show us is refer it to a friend. Thank you so much. We'll see you once again on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com. And click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.